still, he's all those years still waiting for the.
Right. He's just
always the music. Yeah. All right. Well, we're praying it's going to come back at some point. We're going to have it sometime. Maybe not right now, but Adrian and I we were down at Rhema from Oklahoma. We lived there, 2003 to 2000. We moved back in 2006. We went down in 2003. Moved back 2006. And
thank you.
I got to tell a story because I'm a Hawk fan, okay? But I'm always rooting for Iowa State too. But I remember just being in Oklahoma and Iowa State was playing Oklahoma and we were like the only Iowa State fans in like gazillion miles, right? Because we're in enemy territory, right? So we're rooting for Iowa State and it was like they lost and I was so heartbroken because it was like my little glimpse of Iowa. While we were living in Oklahoma, it's like, they got beat by Oklahoma. But anyway, they beat them here a year or two ago, didn't they? Yeah, so that was good. So anyway, I'm rooting for both of them. Anytime both of them are winning, now they both can't win today, obviously. But I'm always rooting for both of them because I always like to see both teams win. So amen. I don't know. It's kind of interesting because what Adrian was talking about, Mr. Gary was talking about, is kind of lines up kind of what I'm talking about today, or we're going to explore today. And I think there's been some misconception about faith. I think that we've tried to overcomplicate things, and also too, let's just turn Romans 8:1 while you're turning there. I want to talk about simple faith again. Simple faith. Can you please just say simple faith?
Simple faith.
Simple faith. Right? I've overcomplicated things in the past. Anybody else overcomplicate things? You try to overcomplicate things. Yeah. Obviously, the Bible discusses the need for faith, but I feel like there's extremes when we view faith towards God, right? Obviously, we need to review things and say, okay, why am I not receiving from God? Why is it when I approach God, I'm not receiving things? And I think there's some obvious reasons, and I'm probably not the only one that has experienced some of these feelings in the past, too. And I've heard it from other people. So, for example, I'm sure I'm the only one that's thought I'm not good enough, right, to receive from God. Right? I've sinned. I've missed the mark in the past. right? And I'll confess this for everybody. You're all going to be my priests here tonight. All right. I struggled with this one when I was young in the Lord because I was condemned. The devil beat me up so much when I was younger. And I saw people that, I always wanted things from God and I saw them experiencing things even when I was younger. And it frustrated me. Because what was I saying? And again, we'll talk about this. I was thinking, why am I not getting it? See, I was focusing on myself, wasn't I? Why am I not receiving it? What's wrong with me? And what happens is when we start looking at, and again, we need to evaluate ourselves. I'm not saying that we shouldn't, but we're going to find out the way the scripture says how we receive. And faith is not, and again, let's not say things about faith about, we say we're believing for things we think carnal. A lot of people think carnal, like money, a house, a car. That can be, but there are greater things than that, yeah. Right? I mean, just think about it, for example. I mean, what would you rather have, a fish or a fishing pole?
A fishing pole.
The pole, right? I mean, you want to enable yourself to multiply things on and repeat processes over, right? Immaturity says, I want this right now. Mature person says, how do I repeat myself and how do I repeat the process? And so Romans 8:1 says now, and this is New Living Translation. So again, now think about it. Many people aren't receiving from God because first of all, they are condemned. I'm not good enough. Oh, are you healing yourself? I missed that memo. Are you the one producing it? No. Romans 8:1, a New Living Translation says, there is there no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. How many belong to Christ Jesus? Guess what? You're not condemned anymore. What's that mean? You're not being judged anymore. Right? You're not being sentenced. You're not being condemned. And because you belong to Him, talking about Jesus, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You've been forgiven. You've been forgiven. So, put that to rest. Don't touch that. Now, there are things where if you do make a mistake, First John 1:9 says that if we do, you know, we sin, that we confess our sins. And He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right? And we're going to see the real key, a key to faith. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore we're seen about, compassed about so great a cloud of witness. Here we go. Lay aside every weight and what? The sin which does so easily beset us or slows us down, right? It hinders us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So first of all, you've already been forgiven. If you are born again, you're never going to make yourself righteous and pure. Now, we need to live righteous and holy lives, right? It doesn't mean we need to go and sin and live like pigs, do we? Okay? But we've got things reversed, and especially the world and much of the church, they think that, well, I'm going to clean myself up. Why would you clean your car before you go to the car wash? You go to the car wash to get clean. People at church, well, I just need to get my act together before I go to church. Well, No, that's where you go to get cleaned up, right? That's where you get the help you need. It's like, well, I'm going to take my medicine, or I'm going to get better before I go to the doctor. Hello? Right? That's ridiculous. I'm going to clean up before I get in the shower. No, you're not. You go to Him. He's the cleanser. You're not. Once you're cleansed and once you've been born again, then He gives you the power to live righteous, doesn't He? And we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So again, to receive things from God, it's not based on your whether you're good enough or not. Because you're not good enough. He is. And that's what He's made us good enough. Righteousness is basically what it means is He is now taking you and placing you in a position, right? Okay? So, we all know the news. The Queen supposedly died, right? She died, and then we've got, you know, Prince Charles, and he has now been, quote, king, which I don't care one way or the other because I'm an American, right? So anyway, but it's a big deal to the British and whatever. But he has been crowned king. Did he do anything to deserve it? No.
No, he didn't.
He just born at a certain time and that's it. Well, guess what? We've got better things than old Charles, right? Than old Chucky Doodle. We have a righteousness with Him. Jesus. We have a better position than Him. Don't we? And it doesn't mean you've done nothing other than just say, yes, Jesus, You're my Lord. I'm going to commit my life to You, and now I make You Lord of my life. And because of that, He comes in, 2 Corinthians 5:17, He now makes us a new creature on the inside. And because of that, He positions us. Righteousness just means we hold a position with Him. And that means we can go to God through Christ, because Jesus still has a ministry, right? Even though He's not supposedly here, He has a ministry at the right hand of the Father, doesn't He? He's interceding for us. That position is always going to be there forever. Without Jesus, we have no access to the Father. And because of Him, we have everything. And without Him, we have nothing. We're actually in big, 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 big trouble without Jesus. So, His blood that was presented to the mercy seat when He died, that was the payment for us. Well, people get mad about this. He's the firstborn man among many brethren. Now, Jesus didn't commit sin, but He became sin for us. So He's the first one to be redeemed, right? Oh, man, it just makes people just mad. It makes religious folks just mad. How can you say that about? No, He didn't commit sin. He became sin upon Him. On the cross, it said He became sin for us. He took it upon Himself. He took the sin. He took everything for us, and because of that, he destroyed, and we see Revelation 1, first chapter, it says he what took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, right? So because he went to hell, yes, he went to hell. Ephesians says he went to hell. Other place, he went to hell, he was there, and then God pulled him out. And when he was there, he came out, looky what I got the keys, right? So what's that mean? It means that because of Christ, we are now redeemed from the curse of the law. We are now redeemed from death, hell, and the grave. And there's nothing you have done to deserve that. Religion says, oh, we need to do this. We need to do this. No, it has nothing to do with you. Understand that? Just say that. It has nothing to do with me. Doesn't that feel good? Right? Right? Again, it doesn't mean we live like pigs, but what it does, it places a reverence and it places the glory where it needs to be and on him. Because we in the flesh, we want to take all the glory for everything, don't we? Right? When you're a little kid, look, I made that. You know, look at my picture, look what I did. You know? And we can't take in that glory. When we get a revelation of him and what he's done, I had an old class on this at Rhema, you know? Righteousness is one of the key ingredients to our understanding, stepping to the other side with him. Understanding our position. That's when we can stand in the face of the devil and say, no, you're not, and he'll back down. Right. It's because of not what you do, because of Jesus is behind you, right? He's there with you. He's the big brother with the big club that's going to smack the devil, and he does it because of the righteousness, the position you've been in. So that means when we speak to the devil, he's going to move. We speak to things, those ailments in our body, it's not because of us, right? We're trying to work it up. Oh, I'm trying to work it up. Oh, well, good. You're going to work yourself up to a frenzy. Another one is, I don't have enough faith. How do you know you have enough faith? I mean, where's the? It's kind of like the whole drunk thing, you know? I always laugh at people. I'm going to drink, but I'm not going to get drunk. Really? Well, where's the line at? You know? You don't know, right? I mean, how do you know? Well, the legal limit. Well, they change out all the time. How you can do it with the state? I mean, it keeps shrinking and shrinking and shrinking all the time. How do you know? How do you know when you have faith? How do you know? When do you know you have enough faith? Oh, I got enough faith. Now I'm going to pray. Well, there is a witness. But Matthew 17:20, New Living Translation says this. You don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth. If you have the, he's talking to the disciples now. If you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here and to there, and it will move. Nothing would be impossible. Right? Use what you got. I remember Samson. What did he do? He just grabbed a donkey jawbone. He's like, yeah, this is a great club. I'm going to bolt myself some Philistines. What did he do? He just took what he had, right? What was Moses on the side of a mountain? What was the side of a mountain? And God said, okay, set your staff down. Okay, set it down. Turned it into a serpent. Now let's pick it back up. Moses is like, oh, no. He's like, do it. Okay, and he grabbed it and it turned back into the rod again, didn't it? See, we're trying to complicate things, aren't we? We're trying to figure everything out on God's end. Guess what? God has a side and you have a job and he has a job. His job is to heal you. His job is to take care of you. All you have to do is rest in him. I like to think of faith as trusting him. Sometimes we think of faith as, I got to memorize 32,000 scriptures and I got to do all this. Blah, 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 blah. Just, we're going to see scripturally, it's just him. It's just about him. That's it. We don't need to complicate things. And then, other ones we're going to talk about here, man, you know, some people think that they don't think that God hears them. You know, I've had conversations with other people before. You know, when Brother Hagin was alive, I remember people, you know, we used to talk about things like, I mean, it's of course there's an anointing on Brother Hagin. Of course there was an anointing on these people. And, you know, especially during the healing revival, you know, it was really great to have, you know, we see Oral Roberts and Brother Hagin and A.A. Allen. And, I mean, just all these amazing people that had, you know, really healing anointings. Of course, people showed up and God healed them. And God was doing a movement in the land, right? But, and again, people there, because God was using people, again, some people thought, if I just get to that, he'll heal me. Right? There's something special about him. No, it was about God. It all boils down to, it was him healing people. A.A. Allen had nothing. Oral Roberts had nothing. Brother Hagin had nothing. And they will tell you that. Yeah. Brother Hagin will tell you that. Very humble man. I remember Brother Hagin one time, we were eating, and we had a banquet, and him and Miss Aretha, and they were there eating. We were eating together. And I remember, you know, you listen to little things of people, and it's interesting because I remember saying one time, talking about, I never eat everything on my plate. Like, he lived a fasted life, you know. And when you're listening to people, you make mental notes. I was watching Brother Hagin raw eating, and I remember watching him eat, and sure enough, when he was done, he just sat back and, you know, he was talking, and there was still a lot of food left on his plate. Even watching him in that, you can tell these people, they're committed to walking with God. Now, it doesn't mean, oh, am I not supposed to eat everything? No, what it means is he lived a fasted life. It just means he lived consecrated. He wanted to have himself consecrated to God where he never indulged his flesh on anything. That doesn't mean you don't need to do. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's what he was convicted to do. All right? That's an important thing. Many people, well, Brother Hagin did this. I need, well, Kenneth Copeland does this. Well, good for them. Did he tell you to do that? If not, then why are you trying to do that? Or, you know, many people think they don't care. God doesn't care. I mean, you can't believe how many people think that God's out to kill them. But God's killing people. God's killing people. That is the most insane. Have you never read your Bible? We're going to talk about scriptures now. We're going to talk about those two in just a minute, but I want to look at Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Hebrews 11, 1. I am telling you, we serve an amazing God. He is so good. And when you connect with him and just spend time with him and you get into the scriptures and you he's like a sweet sugar daddy. I mean, he is just so loving and so compassionate. And it's not about, again, the word, the Bible helps us connect with a person. It's very important to understand that. I don't worship the Bible. Oh my gosh, people would just have an absolute, you know what? If I was in some theological seminaries, people would be having a heart attack by half the stuff I preach, right? When we get into heaven, the Bible is not going to be on the throne. I hate to tell you that right now. I know you're going to be disappointed by this, okay? There's not going to be some Bible floating around laying pages on you, right? In heaven. It's God. And he's imperfect people during sinful people in a fallen state to deliver his message. And his message is the most important thing. Now, I don't go outside of the word to try to create doctrine, but what I am saying is this, we use that to connect with him. He's the most important thing. Hebrews 11, 1. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God. Oh my gosh, this is so amazing right here. I just stop right here. We just had church. Read it again. It says, the fundamental fact of the existence that this, can you say trust in him? Trust in God? That's it. That's it. That's faith right there. It's a person that we trust in. And then let's go on. It says, this faith. He just defined faith, didn't he? He just defined faith. Is faith memorizing scripture? Well, Pastor, you know, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It does. Hearing about a person. And it says, this faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. Stop. End of church right there. Did you get it?
Yep.
I mean, this should be shouting. You should have brought your shouting shoes tonight, your stretchy pants to go do jumping and shouting. And I'm serious. This is, anyway, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I hope it does you. Let's read it again, because if you're not getting it now, you need to read it again and again and again until you get it. Right here again. I love the message. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, our fundamental existence, guys, is trust in Him. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God. I guess I'll go on. This faith is the, here we go, firm foundation of under everything that makes life worth living. What does it mean? He makes life worth living, the end. That's it. And we're going to go on. Let's read it again so we can get it. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, that's the fundamental existence. That's our fundamental existence, is trusting in Him. This faith. What is faith? The fundamental existence of believing in Him, right? We just read it. Oh my gosh, I got to shout or do something. I'm telling you, so many people be set free by having this revelation. I'm telling you right now. Okay? I'm telling you. And you see how Jesus operated. Well, let's go on. Is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. That needs to be read in that translation 300 times. I'm telling you what. It's got to get in you. It's our handle on what we can't see. Right? Why? Why isn't the handle? Why is it? Does it matter when you see it or not? Why? Because our fundamental fact of existence is this trust in God. That's it. And then it goes on and says, the act of faith is what distinguishes our ancestors and set them above the crowd. I don't know what's going on here, but this is just too heavy in this translation. I'm going to read it again. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. When King David was out there on the Philistine on the front, and we see Saul there, and little old David's dropping off pizzas to his big brother, Casey's Pizzas or whatever, bread and whatever it was that day, we'll say Casey's Pizza. He was a little Mr. Livery Boy. He didn't give out there and say, okay, let me see, Mark 11:22. Okay, what was that scripture again? What did he say? He says, you are defiling my God. Yeah, great. He put it in context of a person, wasn't it? He put it in context of a person whom he had love for. Big difference. Why? Because he knew that he understood covenant. We can get all technical about covenant, but all covenant really means is wherever I go, God's there and he's going to back me up. Mm-hmm. It's just a fancy way of saying he's going to back me up. Right? That's why your marriage, when you have a marriage, you know the other person is going to back you up. Right? So, King David didn't think about, what's that scripture here? What about this? I'm not really sure what God's will is and everything. He's like, no, this ugly jerk, I'm going to take his head off because he's defiling my God. He is offending the one that I love. And the one that I love, that it was not about, because here's the whole thing. It wasn't necessarily that, because if it was a thing of David being offended with the Philistines, he'd have suited up beforehand, right? But when he got there, his ear was perked to, he's talking junk about my father. He's talking trash about my God. And it was personal with David. See, Christian, it's not personal to a lot of Christians. It's not. Yeah. It's not. This isn't personal, right? That's why we hear in the media and the colleges and everything else too, they're a bunch of God haters. Well, that offends me. I love those people, but the whole thing is they are fools. The Bible says, and I can say fools because only the fool says there is no God. Mm-hmm. And they're fools. They're biblical definitions of fools. Yeah. Right? Hey, I get graduate level stuff, okay? They're all echo chambers of the same garbage. Right? Because when you're in graduate school, all it is all you're doing is you are writing thesis about other scholarly papers. So what happens is you're in this bubble and all you're doing is echoing bubble. There's no thinking outside of it, ever. That's why they can't understand or comprehend anything outside of it, and they don't accept anything outside of the bubble, right? Because everything's just an echo chamber and all you're doing is writing what everybody else says and everybody else says and everybody else says. And I'm supposed to honor this garbage, right? Now, there's some smart people, and yeah, I've had some smart professors, and there's smart people, but I was laughing one time about this guy who was in Africa, and he was talking about biology and everything, and he was like watching the animals and everything, and he said, you know, the funny thing is, I never see any scientists out here, I never see anybody on any kind of PhD level or anything out here actually looking at this stuff. They're too busy writing papers in universities, and they have no idea what's actually going on out in the world. I'm like, I can second that, brother. I love having a secular degree because I can know exactly the way they think. And I can criticize them because I've been there. We still love them. Pray for them. Pray that their eyes are understanding. But when you start insulting God, it now becomes personal. Right? Because that's somebody I love. That's somebody that is real. And where was that before I interrupted myself? So we're talking to Hebrews 11, and we're looking at verse 3. And it says, by faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word, what we see created by what we don't see. So this person that we love has created power that has set everything up and created it with his words. So let me ask you this. Why does I believe Apostle Paul wrote this, Hebrews, by the way, people debate it, whatever. Doesn't matter, it's all good. So it doesn't really matter who wrote it, but it was all inspired by the Holy Ghost. That's what matters, right? But if we're looking at this, by faith we see the world called into existence by God's word, what we see created by what we don't see. Let me ask you this. Just think about this for a minute. Why do you think he put this here? I'll tell you why. Because he can create things in your realm that you need. See, he outlines some things here. Number one, he says that the fundamental facts of existence is that we trust in God. That's your existence. That's our existence. That's our realm, is trusting him, right? Then he goes on and he says that is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. So our existence is to trust in him, and this is what makes life worth living. Right? I mean, you know, you can't believe how many people are Christians, and they're like, you know, Christianity is just horrible. It's just awful. I'm not having any fun or anything else. Well, you're bound by religion. That's why. You're not living for him. And then it goes on that, again, faith or trusting in him separates our ancestors from the crowd. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about David's brothers. We talk about David. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why? Because David's brothers were behind Saul. Mm-hmm. David was leading the charge and saying, you know what? I'm going to do this uncircumcised Philistine. I'm going to take his head. He has just blasphemed my God. And God backed him up. But verse 3, by faith we see the world called into existence by God's word, and what we see created by what we don't see. God has a creative power, in verse 3, to do what needs to be done in your realm. Yeah. I mean, you know, when Jesus and the disciples are like, you know what, Jesus, we need money for taxes. And he said, okay, we'll go fishing. And all of a sudden, they have tax money. right? Or you have Elijah that was like, lost his axe head, and then all of a sudden it floats. Okay, you know what? God can do things that defy physics. It doesn't matter what needs to be done. He'll do it.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's guys we listen to that, you know, I've heard of several people that have, when they went somewhere on the mission field, they didn't have enough food and they had a big soup thing and they just kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring and they'd feed hundreds of people and God just kept multiplying. Right? God just kept multiplying. I mean, I hate to tell you this, but that's happening today. Right? You know, one translation says, if he doesn't have it, he'll create it. He'll make a way. I mean, you think about the Israelites, no water coming out of Egypt. They take a step, and what's Moses do? He strikes it, and there's water. Water doesn't come out of rocks. I'm sorry. Hello? That just it's a physics thing, right? It just doesn't happen, right? When I was in college, I took physics, and I was like, there's no water coming out of rocks. It just doesn't. And then verse 7, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Verse 7, because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists, here we go, and that he cares enough, can you say cares?
Cares
enough to respond to those who seek him. What is he hammering on? Number one, you gotta believe that God is, he really exists and he's really out there and he really wants. And then it says what? That he cares. I don't care how many times you can memorize, I mean, it's great to memorize scripture. I'm not belittling that. I memorize scripture. But if you don't get down to the fact that God is a real person and he cares, it just kiss us goodbye. Just do it. Just do it. Just forget about it. And when you're saying something, well, I don't think I received and I received it. Wait a minute. Where's the focus on? Is it on you or is it on him? It's got to be on him. Everything. Okay? And I'm not talking about, when I say faith for things, I'm not talking about just, you know, I need a car, I need money. What about baptism of the Holy Spirit? You had to have faith for salvation, right? What about revelation? What about, you know what, how many of you ever had it before? You ask God, you're like, God, I don't understand something. And then all of a sudden, he starts revealing things to you. Anybody have that? See, faith is, again, it's every aspect of our life. It's about, how do I understand this? He'll give us illumination and revelation when we read the word. He'll again, I remember just, we were talking about this the other night in prayer. And we're gonna close up shop here. I wish we could go for it. Oh man, anyway, I just feel like we go on, then I'm gonna keep, and I just, anyway, we'll pick it up next week. But, you know, Adrian said something, and this is just when we were just kind of dating, and I kind of shared this story on Wednesday night, but there was a guy that was, he was my baseball coach when I was 13 or 14 in Babe Ruth, and he was my manager. My dad was help coach, and then my dad took the team over, and his son was a year older than me, and he left. But anyway, him and his wife went to our church, and Adrian said, yeah, I just want to be like them. She just like had this prayer. Now, Adrian didn't know near what she knows now, but you know what? She just asked God to, and you know, I think that we get into things where we you know, we watch all these TV preachers and you do all this other stuff, and it's a person we're talking to, right? It's just a person. You know, I don't, the Lord speaks to me. We have a conversation a lot. You know, we'll be talking about things, and there's a lot of noise in my house. You know, there's a lot of noise in my house sometimes. So I'll be working on something and then bam, right in my room, all this other stuff. So, but when I have a chance at like late at night and things like that, we'll talk. I hear him because I just talk to him like a person. right? And he speaks to me, and we have a dialogue together. But how does that begin? He's real, and he cares about me. Okay? He is real. Israel is not just a country, it's a person. He is real, and he cares. That's the foundation. If we don't begin with that, because this is the fundamental of faith, isn't it? Right? Because it says here, if we don't, verse 7, it is impossible to please God apart from faith. And again, what is faith? It's synonymous with believing in a person. Now, coming from spending years and years in the Word of Faith movement and Pentecost before that, I will tell you this. Some people have pride in their faith. They are more confident in their scripture memorization and brag about their faith than they do the person. See, when we get into things like, well, I got all this faith, and I can, it's all about him. And then what happens is this, then when something doesn't go our way, then we come back and say, well, they just didn't have faith. You know, well, you just didn't have faith. You just didn't have faith. Well, I wish we'd go on farther because I just have way too much stuff to talk about. But I'm telling you what, it's about him. Right? I mean, you look at the characters that Jesus pulled out for, disciples. Some rough characters out there. I mean, you know, they weren't scholarly. They weren't, you know, we got a guy that was doing taxes, okay? I'm sure he wasn't that popular. I mean, Jesus is pulling IRS people. he's pulling, some fishermen and back then. I mean, these they weren't the polished people, okay? And if you haven't figured it out, I'm not the polished person either. Right? But I love somebody. And I just want to be obedient to him. Right? That's why I'm never going to have all these, wonderful shows and everything up here. And it's like, well, I'm not wired that way. So, and I've just come to the conclusion, it's like, I'm going to stay in my lane. Do what I'm going to do, and then other people can, have their shows and entertain people. It's amazing how over the last 10 to 20 years, Hollywood is preaching to people and churches are entertaining people. It's like, how did this happen? Where did this come from? So again, if we look at this, this answers one of the questions. People think that God doesn't hear them. He does hear you, doesn't he? Because the Bible says so. He hears you. Let's look at 1 John 5:14 and 15. We'll close things up on the New Living Translation. This is really good stuff, and it's not because of me, but because it's because of him. All I'm doing is taking what he's got and reading it to you. We can see more of him every day, and he gets more and more glory, and people fall more in love with him. That's wonderful. You know what? As long as people, it's all about him. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. I would just say this. I was just meditating the other day and talking about sometimes, Adrian and I were talking about things, but I just been meditating on some of these things lately, just about, the vision for the church. And, we've kind of had a weird thing, the Lord kind of pulled us out of that building before, and then all of a sudden COVID hit. And then now I believe we're going to see a massive change in the world. We're going to see some massive changes coming soon in the world, probably in our financial system and everything else too. we can see some massive changes coming down the road. And as just praying and things like that, I believe God's got a vision for this church. And there are things that this church, we're going to have a voice. I think there's things that are going to, I know there's things that's going to change in the near future, because I believe people are going to want the real thing. They need, we got to connect with God. And we got to have people, that are going to, that are wanting to connect with him. And the, you know, the, what is it? The skinny jeans and fog machines and everything else too. I'm not saying that those are bad. What I am saying this is, we got to have the real thing. I need God in my life. I need him. And I need him to touch other people too. In a supernatural way. Amen. And, you know, not that this is out of a healthy place. I'm not satisfied with where we're at. Amen. I want more. Mm-hmm. And it's not because of this is, you know, this beautiful facility. we've had nice before, but the point is I'm hungry for more. Amen. Amen. And we're hungry for good things to happen. And it's not because of, and it takes work, and we know that. But there's coming a time, I believe, in the near future where people, there's going to be things happen, they're going to be desperate for answers. And guess what? We're going to be there. Amen? We're going to be there. We've been sticking to everything tried and true, even before COVID, through COVID. You know, the only reason why we didn't meet was because we didn't have a facility. You know, and I still, you know, I know that everybody else was freaking out. Even if it was Adrian and I and the girls, the only ones here, hey, we were still going to plan on having services, right? And the government can go take a flying leap. I don't care what they say. I'm going to do what I want to do, right? Don't throw me in jail. That's fine. I don't care, because I trust the word, and Jesus, we know, is bigger than COVID and all this other stuff, right? And, you know, we've seen people that there are all these legal fights and everything else too. And of course, we know that there's a lot of, it's been a lot of sham and a lot of fraud. But the whole point is, who are we going to trust in? Him. We just read it here. And if I'm committed to follow him, that means there's going to be, it's going to get a little bumpy sometimes, right? We're going to have maybe some persecution. But it all comes down to, I love it. I love this statement. It says, everything makes life worth living. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't mean it's going to be a cream puff all the way through our life, but at the end of it, we can say it's worth living. I have my dignity. I have God. I can stand before him and say, you know what? I've done what you told me to. Yeah. If people didn't like it, if I had persecution, it doesn't matter. Right? Yeah. We need people that are going to stand up and stand for righteousness and truth. And it's not because of a call of a, I'm not a call, it's not because of a religion or a faith, or it's because of a person. I'm committed to a person. Him. Right? I love America. I love this nation. It's great. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, no, we're going to stand up for God and what's right. And it was about relationship, wasn't it? Daniel prayed 3 times a day and said, I am never going to stop praying to Father. I cannot do it to God. I'm going to do it because of a love for him. Everybody's motivated for love for God throughout the Bible. They were destined to die. They're like, God is more important than my life. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Because of that, God said, oh, I like that. Ooh, I like what I hear. 1 John 5:14 and 15. And we, this is New Living Translation, and we'll close up here. And we are confident that he hears us. That whatever we ask for, anything that pleases him. What pleases him? More revelation. God, please reveal yourself to me. I'm going to do it. Show me your word and show me your truth. He's going to do it. And since we know he hears us, when we make our requests, here we go, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. So our fundamental existence is our trust in him, isn't it? And he makes life worth living. We just read there in Hebrews, right? And because of faith, he has a creative power. He set everything into existence according to Hebrews 11, chapter 3. And guess what? Why does he say that? He's saying that he has the creative ability. He didn't just stop creating things at creation, did he? When he recreated the earth in Genesis, he kicked everything out, but he's still doing creative things. You know, this is, I know, some people would just, I don't believe that at all. I remember one time we were in a gas station. The girls were really little. And none of you know this, but I just told Adrian earlier that day, it was a Sunday. I remember it was a Sunday afternoon. I said, you know what, I'm just going to believe for $80. We need $80 today. Let's just extra $80. And I pulled into a gas station, pumped on my air, and I looked down, and it was late at night. So there's no cars in the gas station. The gas station was closed, right? So it wasn't like I'm doing this, and there was nobody in the parking lot, and we were heading home, it was late or something. And I'm pumping up air in the tires. I looked down, there's a $20 bill. I'm like, oh, cool. And I kept getting this inside. Looked down again, there was another one. Well, ended up there was four $20 bills on the ground. Now, it wasn't windy that day, and there was nothing, you know, because I was under a light because where the pump was at, there's a light there, so it was all lit up. God can do anything, mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm telling you that he can do anything. Mm-hmm. And our limitation is not trusting in him. Right. Guess, can I tell you something? You have nothing to do with you being healed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking about supernaturally. Right now, you know, we're stewards over our body, and you know the Bible talks about, but he's the healer. I like to say I'm going to stay in my lane. Well, my lane is just trusting in him. People are trying to make themselves healed, but he's the healer. To put you to sleep?
No.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Amen. So you go back and you read that portion of Hebrews again. Because I love the message, and I'll read in some other translations. I'm telling you what, when we have a revelation of him, that's going to turn things. Because in the Word, really, guys, when we're reading the Word, we're reading about people who had that revelation that ignited some things in their life. Think about Noah. It was because the Lord spoke to him about something. I mean, do you think Noah is really excited about building a boat? I'm going to spend the next 100 years of my life building a boat. That sounds like a great time. There's no water around and everybody's going to laugh at me for 100 years. This is a blast. I can't wait. Wake up every morning, everybody's laughing at Noah. Isn't this great? No, it's because he loved God. And we see there also in the New Testament says that he was righteous in his day. God positioned him. He wasn't born again. He wasn't anything else. But what righteous to me means because of his heart towards God, God placed him in a position where he had righteousness. He wasn't born again yet. But God put him in a right standing with him because of his obedience and because of his heart for him. You want to turn things around in your life? You look at every person in the Bible that had God's ear was because they loved him. When Abraham was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah, why did he stop by? Why did those two angels stop by and go, oh, by the way, we're going to go, you know, take care of Sodom and Gomorrah? Why didn't God just destroy him? But he stopped by because Abraham had his ear. Because Abraham loved God. Doing whatever he wanted to do. Abraham was ready to sacrifice to whatever it was because his love for God was so, he believed God and he had so much faith in God. He had so much faith in God, he was ready to kill his own son because in the Word, you read that in Genesis, because it says he had the power and the willingness and the ability to bring his son back to life. He knew that God was so good that if he killed him, that right then and there, he'd bring him back for him, bring him back to him. Now, you don't tell me that doesn't have God's ear. Hello? Right? Just some things to think about, okay? Just a few things to think about this week. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your love. We thank you so much. We love you, God. You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. We praise you, and Jesus, you are Lord. And we thank you, Father, and Holy Ghost. We thank you for your ministry. Oh, we glorify you tonight. I pray tonight in the name of Jesus that we have a revelation of you. Oh, of you, Jesus. Yes.
Father, we just dedicate ourselves and pray right now that our hearts are coming back to you.
Mm.
And our hearts are getting recalibrated.
Thank you, Jesus.
Back on you and not back on you, yes. Knowing you to get things.
Mm, bless you, Lord.
Love you. And we're coming back to our first love. And we're dedicating ourselves to people and loving people,
oh,
not for
Jesus.
What they do or how they respond,
yes.
But because you first loved us, we love
praise
people,
you, Lord.
And we are going to be who we are without concern for their response.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
and
you,
it's
Jesus.
Because we know how loved we are by you.
Bless you, Lord.
That is
yes.
Our prayer tonight,
oh,
and our dedication. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody have a great week. Wednesday night, more prayer time, and amen.